This is Money Moves on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. Welcome into Money Moves on VSiN, the sports betting network. Stormy Bonantoni with you live in downtown Las Vegas at Circa Resort and Casino. Alongside today, Keith Irizarry holding it down in NYC. And Keith will be with us for the rest of the week. Shout out Mark Melusis for joining us yesterday. Although, as you were telling me before the show, I should have just gone all in calling him Moose. I didn't know if that was something where you had to know a guy a little bit before you go with the nickname. How's that work?
Yeah, it's funny because, like, you and I are talking before the show, and I'm like, I promise you I'm not leading you, like, astray. I'm not messing with this. This is going to be one of those, like, next time you work with him, call him Moose, and he's going to go, why'd you call me Moose? No, that's what everyone in New York calls him Moose. I don't know if I've ever actually called him Mark before.
Really?
Not sure I've called him Mark. I guess okay. I've introduced the show when we, because him and I worked together for 2 years, and I guess there were times I would say, like, Mark Melusis, his full name, but I've never said just plain Mark.
Okay, so that's good to know, though. It's fine, Mark Melusis. Don't call him Moose Melusis. That's a little bit too much, but this is good.
No, I've never heard that one.
I will lock it in for next time that we work together. Although, and I opened the show like this with Mark yesterday, too, it's odd being on with sports media people from New York back-to-back days after the Yankees and Mets both lose again. So, like, how is the vibe out there in the city?
Horrible. It's terrible. But, so, do you remember when we worked together on Monday and I told you I was going to be at SNY on Monday night? And
yes.
I'm like, oh, I hope they both don't lose. And then they both lost. Yeah. That was fun. And then we had to spend the night talking about, like, what to fix with the Mets and what's wrong with the Yankees and should the Yankees send Jason Dominguez down to the minors. The world crumbles in New York when New York teams don't do well for, like, a week and a half.
Well, I'm sure you guys figured it out. You know, you talked it through. You figured it out. Hopefully both organizations were listening very clearly. I will say, though, I was a little bit happy at what transpired with the Metropolitans in particular yesterday. I felt for them going up 3-0 through five innings, but they give up the five spot. As somebody who was on the Braves yesterday, that felt good. That was one of actually a couple winners that we had yesterday, although that one didn't necessarily play out how I thought it was. I was talking about Frankie Montas and the rehab starts and how bad those numbers were. Frankie said relax in his pregame media availability, and he was right because he ended up being great. Five innings, three hits, no runs, five strikeouts, did walk three batters. But for his first start of the year coming back from injury, bullpen unfortunately couldn't help him out. We also cashed on the Phillies Astros under. It was the pitcher's duel that we thought it would be. And then no sweat on the Tigers run line. Not necessarily how I saw that game going either. But 11-4, no sweat, rocking chair. We love when that happens. And so now, Keith, after I went 3-0 yesterday, 4-0 for the week, and you went 5-0 on Monday, I feel like we've got a lot of pressure on us when it comes to the diamond.
And I actually blame nobody but you for all what? The pressure. So let's pull back the curtain for a second. So Brian Ortega, our elite producer, you and I were on a thread together. You mentioned how well the show has been doing, and then you were like, yeah, no pressure, but let's just continue doing really well. And I'm like, well, now all of our bets are not going to hit.
So everyone
no, I don't believe
today.
That at all. No, I don't believe that at all. I've done all the research. I've done all the due diligence that I need to do, and I'm prepared to have a successful day with the bets I'm going to give out, and I know that you are as well. So continue rolling with us, because we, as I said, make money move.
Whoa. I see what you did there for our audience. If you forgot, our show name is Money Moves. There you go. We will have a full slate of baseball coming up a little bit later. We'll get into all that talk. Keith has plenty of props. And again, he's been dialed in that area. One of many items that we're going to get to over the course of the next 2 hours here on the show. So you know what time it is. Let's run it down.
It's time for the top headlines and topics of the day. This is The Rundown.
We're also going to get into a little bit of golf today, my friend. The Rocket Classic set to get underway tomorrow from the Detroit Golf Club. Coming up in about 30 minutes, Stephen Hennessy, managing editor of Golf Digest, is going to stop by. Keegan Bradley's in the field coming off his stunning come-from-behind win in the Travelers. 18-1, third shot on the board. Colin Morikawa, your 12-1 favorite. Patrick Cantlay, 16-1. I got to say, Keith, it's nice to see a field that doesn't have a single-digit favorite atop the board every once in a while. This is refreshing.
Also kind of odd when you don't have any of the quote-unquote, like, superstars of the sport. I know Keegan Bradley, and I know, like, you know some of the names, and even, like, Cam Davis, he won it last year, and he's I didn't even see him on my board as someone that you would want to bet on necessarily. So a little bit odd. I think there could be some diamonds in the rough, maybe some gems, and I'm looking forward to catching up a little bit later about this with Steven.
Yeah. We'll also have a fun Wednesday edition, as usual, of Why Not Wednesday, looking at some different plus money props. Keith has one fun one for the 4th of July that we'll get into in a little bit. But, of course, where we're going to kick things off here today, Keith, lots of NBA to discuss. The NBA draft coming up later tonight. Jonathan Von Tobel is going to join us in hour two. On vacation, by the way. What a guy. But to lead us off here, more players on the move the last 24 hours. We said yesterday on the show, reacting to the Celtics trade of Jrue Holiday to Portland, would Kristaps Porzingis be next? And we have that answer now. The Seas are trading Porzingis to the Atlanta Hawks, part of a three-team deal with Brooklyn. The Celtics get George Niang and a second-round pick. But the reason for the move, of course, is significant salary relief. They are dumping money at this point. 10 days ago, the Celtics were projected to pay $540 million in salary and luxury tax. That has now been cut down between the Holiday and Porzingis trades by $260 million.
Yeah, we're talking aprons, right? First apron, second apron. Everyone is fearful of this. They get out of the second apron. We continue to hear, Stormy, that teams in the top 10 of this year's NBA draft are calling the Celtics. Is Derek White available? Is Jaylen Brown available? It is a weird, odd scenario for the Boston Celtics because Jason Tatum very well might miss all of next season. I know there's hopes that he could potentially be back in like April or May, but he could end up missing the whole season. Do you blow it all up? I don't. I wouldn't. I don't understand why you would get rid of Jaylen Brown, who is maybe going to get an opportunity to finally show that he is 1A, not 1B. And Derek White is an elite defender, elite three-point shooter. You've got Peyton Pritchard. You got some of the other young players. I think I roll with this team. You'll be middle of the pack in the East. And if you happen to sneak into, you know, like the sixth seed in the East and Tatum comes back end of April, early May, then you still have a chance. I just don't understand the idea of blowing this all up.
I think maybe, too, this could be a good conversation when we do have JVT on, if he thinks the Celtics might see anything in the draft that is worth trying to do something position-wise. And, I mean, that's why draft day is so interesting, right? But I agree with you. Yes. I think they have done enough already financially to get under that second apron, as you referenced, that they shouldn't need to dump off more players. You use this season as a retool, and then when Tatum comes fully back another year down the road when he's back from the injury, that's when you kind of rebuild that up into what you want it to be.
By the way, perfect word choice there, retool, right? I know you then you added in the rebuild thing later, but like retool, that's what this season will be about. Just retool, go like maybe go get a veteran or two, like some cheaper, salary-wise veterans, play the season out. I don't think you need to leave the, like, because realistically, I know we're going to talk to JVT about this. I don't know if I see a player, because you're not going to get a top three pick. So let's say, I mean, I guess unless the Sixers really wanted Jaylen Brown that bad, but I don't know how they would afford all of that. Like, so you're not going to get a top three pick. I'm not sure I see a player from 4 to 10 that I would be willing to bet hard-earned money that sitting here on Wednesday, June 25th, I believe will be better than Jaylen Brown is in the NBA. Jaylen Brown is already a star, borderline superstar. He's not a superstar, but a borderline superstar.
And here's the thing, too. This is a Celtics team that just won an NBA title, right? And coming off of that, we were discussing, what can this look like in the future? Like, very similar to what we said about OKC and, like, how they are built for success moving forward. Obviously, the injury to Tatum is unforeseen, and that's going to kick things back. But you don't want to totally blow up everything that you thought was built for long-term success. Granted, the money element is there. You can't have all of these guys signed for so long. And I know we can get deep into the weeds with luxury tax and talking about aprons, and fans don't care about that. Fans want to know what their team is going to be like on the court next year. So that's why I ask you, when you do look at the futures market and you see Boston available for an NBA title 17-1 to 22-1 with a starting lineup that may or may not have Jaylen Brown and Derek White, and Fernie Simons, then it's Peyton Pritchard, Sam Hauser, Luke Kornet.
How deep are we going? No. You will never speak ill of Peyton Pritchard ever in
I'm
my presence,
speaking
okay?
Ill. I'm just saying, is
I
that an NBA title or Eastern Conference final caliber roster? Probably no. Like, I have no interest in touching any of those numbers on the Celtics.
No, what's crazy is you'd probably... Thank you very much. I was busting your chops. Peyton Pritchard is my favorite player to watch in the NBA right now. I love his story. I loved all the like the hard work videos that they showed, his dribbling stuff. Brian, is there any chance we can get Peyton Pritchard as a guest on this show? You know what producers hate, Stormy? I'm going to tell you this. You know what producers hate? And I know you've been in this industry long enough. Producers hate when the on-air personalities ask them to do something for them on air and then put them on the spot. I'm very doing that unfair. Right now to Brian. I'm going to throw it out there.
For himself.
There's my challenge to you, Brian. No, he cannot. I'm going to throw this out there. That's my challenge. I want to get Peyton Pritchard on the show. Furthermore, I think you, from a betting standpoint, you would probably be better suited picking the Celtics to not make the playoffs than to win the NBA championship next year. That would probably be a better bet.
On the flip side of this, so the Hawks get Kristaps Porzingis and a second-round pick. Atlanta, 101 to win the NBA title. That doesn't change. 22-1 to win the East. Don't give up a whole lot. He's a big name. They're a scrappy team. I just wonder if he can stay healthy, too, with this like mystery illness he had this year that no one seemed to know what it was. But again, just furthering the point that the Eastern Conference is pretty wide open. You have the Cleveland Cavaliers at the top, the Knicks without a head coach there. And it just gets more and more interesting as we go because of all of those injuries, too. Tatum and Damian Lillard and, of course, Tyrese Halliburton that we saw in Game 7. We have more NBA talk to get into next, especially considering how casually this NBA team president talked about potentially moving off of maybe the biggest star in the NBA. So we'll get to that and a whole lot more. We're just getting started here on Money Moves.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
There's a new sports betting market in town, and it's called XCUTTA, X-C-U-T-T-A. XCUTTA is a sports Calcutta combining the adrenaline of live auctions and strategy of sports prognostication. Create your own XCUTTA options for you and your crew for any sporting event. Football, baseball, basketball, tennis, golf, Super Bowl, World Series, March Madness, Wimbledon, even your own local golf tournament. Whatever you want, create your private or public auctions and create secondary markets or aftermarket buying and selling as well. Over 1,000 teams, players, drivers, all in the database with the ability for you to add more. Free practice auctions are going on now daily at 3, 6, and 9 p.m. at xcuta.com. And for a 3-month free bidding subscription, check out this email, support@xcuta.com. Again, xcutta.com. Mention VSiN. xcuta.com, the future of futures wagering. Alongside Keith Irizarry, Stormy Bonantoni with you. We're talking plenty of NBA off the start of the show. And if you think the Celtics are going wild with the moves they're making, how about what Nuggets president Josh Kroenke had to say yesterday, who casually, and I think it's fair to say out of nowhere in his pre-draft press conference yesterday, brought up the possibility of trading Nikola Jokic. Take a listen.
You know, I think that for us as an organization, going into that second apron is not necessarily something that we're scared of. I think that there are rules around it that we needed to be very careful of with our injury history. The wrong person gets injured and very quickly you're into a scenario where that I never want to have to contemplate, and that's trading number 15.
So, Keith, I get what he's doing, and he's complaining about the second apron. He's calling it a hard cap. He's going to an extreme hypothetical. But when the hypothetical is something that you would legitimately never do, oh, when the going gets tough financially, we might trade number 15. Like, why even go there? Because you're just going to rile people up. And I maybe we're blowing this out of proportion, and I know people will always say, oh, blame the media for this. But at the same time, you said it. Why'd you say it? You didn't need to. This is why we're talking about it.
Also, we're coming off, I guess it was like, what, 5 months ago, where Luka Doncic, untradeable, was traded away from Dallas. So you've got all your Denver Nuggets fans believing that Jokic, assuming he re-signs deals and stuff like that, never will want to leave Denver. He doesn't seem like the kind of guy that's going to want to jump from team to team. Like, he seems like the kind of guy that just wants to play basketball and then get home so he can, you know, ride horses and bet on horses and train horses and all that kind of stuff, right? So why put that even in the, like, the world? It's not even necessary. Now, again, to piggyback what you said, we all understand what Kroenke was doing there. He was complaining about this second apron. He's complaining about the way the salary caps are now being structured. Don't say it. Also, I'll give you one more also. Is this the last time we hear from Josh Conkey in the media? What do you think? There's no more press conferences for him, right?
No, never. Of course not. He's never going to talk. Yeah, of course
you
he
have
is.
To kind of be like, no, come on, no. All right, let's do a friendly wager there. I say we hear from Josh Kroenke only one more time before the NBA season even starts in October. We will literally hear from him nationally one more time. One more time.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay. All right. I like it.
Friendly wager on that?
I don't know. We don't hear from these guys often. You hear them around the draft, and you hear them when it's required to hear from, okay? I want to get back to the big point here, though. These types of guys do not grow on trees. Nikola Jokic averaged a triple-double this year, right? He's the third player in NBA history to do that for an entire season. He's a three-time MVP. He is the guy that can put the team on his back whenever you need him to. I don't have him in front of me right now, but I remember going through the back end of the season, the numbers with him on and off the court for the team, it's night and day. So from an odds perspective, where do you think they stand in the Western Conference this past year? Because they make it as far as they do. They fire their head coach. They go through all of this change. But at the end of the day, you still have Nikola Jokic. So what does that look like for them moving forward?
So I think there's still a team that you have to reckon for, right? So they were the team that took the Thunder to seven games. I know the Pacers did too, but they took the Thunder to seven games. That was a hard-fought series. You know what Jokic is. You know what Jamal Murray normally is. And as bad as Michael Porter Jr. played in the postseason, his shoulder was hanging from a thread and was playing through this with bubble gum and tape wrapping it together while trying to shoot three-pointers in the NBA. So, I still think the Denver Nuggets are probably going to be one of the three or four best teams in the Western Conference this coming year. And if you're that, you have a chance. So I'm not out on the Denver Nuggets, and I don't believe that Jokic is going anywhere. Yeah. But then again, I never thought Luka was going anywhere either. So who knows? Maybe we wake up tomorrow morning and we have a better story.
Josh Kroenke's just been hanging out with Nico Harrison too long. That's all it is. The Nuggets, by the way, because you mentioned them being a top three team in your eyes in the Western Conference, fifth on the board at 9-1 right now behind OKC, the Houston Rockets, Minnesota Timberwolves, and Los Angeles Lakers. The Rockets, by the way, just had a little update, and we obviously know the big trade with Kevin Durant coming through, but Shams Charania also just putting out on X that Fred VanVleet intends to sign a two-year, $50 million contract to stay with the franchise, a player option in 2026 and 27. The Rockets odds, again, plus 450 just behind OKC, who is a big favorite. And to go back to the Mavericks real quickly, you see they signed Kyrie to a three-year contract extension as well. He declined his $43 million player option, signs a three-year, $119 million deal. And it's so funny to see how fans get riled up because some people are like, okay, this is great. It's a team-friendly deal. He's going to be with us. And some people are like, what are you doing? He's coming off an ACL. Why are you doing this? It's I love Twitter when these deals come through.
You mean fans could be crazy? Oh, no way. What's nuts? So what's the Maverick? Do you have the Mavericks number in front of you to win the West? Do you have that in front of you?
25-1.
I know you're just looking at the list. All right. I think that's worth a flyer because so take a look at what, and I know that everyone will crush Nico Harrison, and I did too, and I still will. I still think it was the wrong move to trade Luka Doncic, and especially the way they did it. But Anthony Davis, I know you're going to say, well, can he? But when he's healthy, is still an elite player. Kyrie Irving coming off the ACL, it's not 10, 15 years ago where ACLs and Achilles mean you don't come back and play at an elite level anymore, he'll be fine. Cooper Flagg, I think, is a generational talent and is going to be an excellent rookie. And he is going into a Dallas Mavericks roster where there's no pressure on him at all. He is the third, the fourth, maybe the fifth option offensively on that team. So they have depth. They just signed Gafford. You still got Lively. They are deep. At 25-1, again, I still believe more in the Thunder. I believe more probably in the Nuggets, maybe more in the Mavericks, in the Timberwolves as well. But 25-1 for the Mavericks, I think that's worth some pizza money.
I do love, by the way, how we are so open, and it's obvious, right? Cooper Flagg is going to the Mavericks, but how openly we're just like, yeah, so Cooper Flagg, when he does this, this, and this, even though it hasn't even happened yet, like, yeah, that is coming tonight.
Right.
Very reminiscent of, you remember when Victor Wembanyama was drafted, or when the Spurs won the lottery, and Brian Windhorst was in France interviewing him, and like, hey, what's it feel like knowing you're going to go to the San Antonio Spurs, even though the draft was still another month away? Yeah, Cooper Flagg is that guy. He's going to be it. I'm excited to get into the draft a little bit further when JVT joins us. Is there anything still that could be bettable coming into tonight? I don't know what you guys have options-wise available to you, and I know our audience doesn't love when we're just complaining about Las Vegas, but it is a tough go in this city. Like, nobody wants to book anything for the draft, and they already don't want to do it for the NFL draft because of how information-based it is and how many people want to do it, let alone the NBA or the NHL draft that doesn't garner the same type of attention. It stinks.
Yeah, I've never been a person that bets on the drafts. I kind of like to sit, relax, watch, enjoy, especially since a lot of my early career was covering, you know, high school and college players. So a lot of times I feel like I have a real connection to a lot. Like, honestly, Vijay Edgecombe, and I don't remember if I told you the story, if it was JVT, but my two sons practice at the high school where Vijay Edgecombe played at Lujai. So, like, we got a chance for the last year and a half, prior to Baylor, obviously, to see Vijay. And Vijay would come over and, like, say hello to my sons. And, like, I got a chance to see Kai and Anthony and the Mingo brothers and all of these kids at Lujai and in the national program. So I'm sitting here rooting for Vijay. The Philly spot is weird for me for him because I'm excited that Vijay has a chance to go number three in this draft. And it's not really that bettable. But for him to go number three, I don't love that spot necessarily because he's a super athletic guard with a bunch of other super athletic guards there. So I think it's going to be tough for playing time, but I'm looking forward to him, and I'm just going to sit there tonight and enjoy.
Sit back, relax, enjoy the draft. I think that's a good way to put it. It's funny you say that, though, about your personal connections, because I feel like that as well as a sideline reporter, and you have a lot of these, like, intimate conversations with players, and you get to know their backstory, and you want to root for them. That, and while I don't find myself rooting for teams sometimes, I am rooting for people. And as a bettor, it is a hindrance. So I always say during the college football season, I will share with you what I know, but you don't want my opinion, because the opinion on the game that I cover week to week is like, I'm pulled in 80 directions and I believe everything everyone's telling me. So, like, I'm better at judging a team I cover the following week or weeks after. I have a good baseline of it after seeing a team play in person, but the lead up to said game, you don't want it from me. We'll be right back. We're diving into the Rocket Classic next with Stephen Hennessy of Golf Digest.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Rocket Classic set to get underway tomorrow from Detroit Golf Club as we welcome you back to Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Thanks for hanging out with us. SiriusXM Channel 158. He's Keith Irizarry. I'm Stormy Bonantoni. Lots to get to as it pertains to the golf this week, and excited to break it all down with our good buddy, Stephen Hennessy, who joins us here on the Progressive Guest Line, managing editor of Golf Digest, up on golfdigest.com right now. They've got the full betting panel picks, best bets. Go check it out. But Stephen, how are you? And as I mentioned to Keith earlier, what's it like having a board in terms of odds that doesn't have a single-digit favorite for once?
Yeah, it's nice, Stormy. That puts me in a good mood this week. We're not going up against Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy taking the week off. So it feels like we could, you know, we could get a taste down the board a little more. And the thing is, even with the guys in the teens, Colin Morikawa, Keegan Bradley, I'm not scared of those guys. Colin hasn't won in nearly 3 years. Keegan is coming off this emotional win at the Travelers. So, you know, this really feels like the board has opened up. And it's not a bad field either. I think there's some value kind of down in the 30s, 40s, the mid-tier. And, so I'm excited for this week, absolutely.
Stephen, before we get to some of the value plays, do you agree, though, with Morikawa and Cantlay and Bradley towards the top of this board?
Oh, I agree that they should be the favorites. You know, if you look at the long-term data, you know, they're clearly the crop of this field, although Ben Griffin has been the best player If you look at a shorter sample, the last 36 rounds, he's number one in strokes gained total. But, you know, I think the books have to price in a Morikawa and a Cantlay and a Keegan accordingly because all the stats and numbers look so good. But the win equity, I mean, with Cantlay and Morikawa combined, these guys haven't won in 2 or 3 years, you know, which raises eyebrows in terms of Ryder Cup and all that. Keegan just won, but like I said, he just won the Travelers. That's like winning a major to Keegan Bradley. And the letdown after that emotional victory, I'm staying away from him. So, yeah, I agree with the odds. I just am not tempted by the top of the board.
Yeah, still so crazy to think of the way that played out. Down three shots with three holes to go, comes all the way back,
yep.
Crushed for Tommy Fleetwood, but an unbelievable win for Keegan Bradley, as you said. As you look at this course coming up this week, what are some things people should know about the course and the skill sets that are most tailored to perform well there?
Yeah, most often at Detroit Golf Club, this is the fifth or sixth year we've seen it. We see guys can really separate themselves with distance off the tee. Bryson DeChambeau, you know, a couple years ago when he was back on the PGA Tour, had a nice duel here with Matthew Wolf. Tony Finau won here. Cam Davis, who has won twice here, actually, he's super long off the tee and very inaccurate with his driver. So basically, you could miss it wherever at Detroit Golf Club, and it really doesn't matter. You know, you might be in the trees a little bit, but you always sort of have a shot. You could run the ball up a little bit, sort of like Wingfoot, the 2020 U.S. Open. So what we see is it's driver play. It's heavy on driver and wedges, too. You know, you got to be a pretty good approach player from like 100 to 150 yards, and then it basically just turns into a putting contest, who can make the most 10 or, you know, 10 to 15 to 20 footers for the week. So, you know, I think you want to favor guys with distance that gives them, you know, that always gives you an added edge over the competition. But I think you are going to need a hot putter, which it adds variance to it because putting, as anyone who best golf knows, is not very predictive week to week. So, you know, that's why my bets, I'm kind of favoring the guys who are longer off the tee and trying to, you know, play the guys who do have a little bit of an edge, I think.
One last thing from me before we actually get to some of the guys that you are looking at to potentially go far in this one and maybe win it. We also, as bettors, turn into meteorologists. So will weather be a factor at all?
I mean, it's going to be hot in Detroit. You know, anyone in the Midwest or, you know, northern part of the country, out in Vegas, certainly, you know how hot it is right now. No, I don't think it's going to be much of a factor. You know, not like, you know, at Oakmont where there's a big wave advantage. That's not really something I'm monitoring, to be honest.
Stephen Hennessy, managing editor of Golf Digest, joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line, Money Moves. As you went through and started picking the players that fit your models best, who stood out to you and where did you eventually place your bets?
Yeah, my favorite bet of the week, and yeah, I say this reluctantly because I've bet him consistently the last 4 or 5 years, and he has never won on the PGA Tour, but he's reeling me back in with his good play recently. It's Cam Young. He's 25-1 right now. Yeah, the thing with Cam is he shows me a little signs of life, and I'm just back on the train. So T4 at the U.S. Open at Oakmont, that's a driver-heavy course. You know, he really excelled there. And then the week previous, where I bet him in Canada, CPC Toronto, another driver-heavy course, had a great chance to win going into the last hole, ended up bogeying. I think this really suits his skill set, and he does have a couple top tens here in the past. His putter could get really hot, so he has that elite distance and off-the-tee game and can combine that with the putter. So he struggled on the weekend at the Travelers, but I'm willing to get back in on Cam Young. Akshay Bhatia as well, 45-1 on Akshay, kind of fits that mold of, you know, he could be inaccurate off the tee. That's why I love him on this golf course. That really doesn't matter. He also loves to shape the ball left to right, right to left. So it plays to kind of his creativity a little bit. He struggled a little recently, but I think that's why we're getting a decent number on Akshay, two-time winner here. So I think Akshay at 45, you know, he could get a hot putter if the broomstick's on fire in Detroit. I think that's a good play, too.
So Davis Riley, Austin Eckroat, some of the guys I was looking at really long shots too. If you were new to golf betting, if someone's tuning in for the first time and they hear all the names that you're mentioning, how do you kind of build out your portfolio with winners and top fives and top tens and stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean, first, the best thing I could recommend is getting a subscription to a data website, certainly VSiN.com and all the great stuff that, you know, Wes Reynolds and all the guys are doing over there. He breaks down the stats in a great way. You know, if you're and he does it in a way where if you are sort of a novice, you could just read Wes's article and, you know exactly what to look at for the week. If you want to look closer into the stats, you know, there's some stats websites out there that you could subscribe to. And it's basically just realizing what the important stats are for the week, weighting them accordingly. You know, people say, oh, my model. You know, it could be simpler than that. It's just basically knowing which stats to look at for the week. And, you know, typically PGA Tour courses are pretty cyclical. They, you know, go back to the same layouts every year, and, you know, the skill sets don't change much. So, you know, typically I'll do 4 or 5 outrights a week, depending on if I'm betting a top-end favorite, then I'm betting less guys. But then you want to build out a bunch of placement markets. So typically top 20s are where I'm heaviest. Even though they're not going to return a lot, you know, it's just those are better bets and less random than a top 10. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the matchups, too, are really where, you know, the strong golf bettors make the most of their money. They'll tell you, you know, that's where you can find an edge, just singling out the player or two each week who you're fading. Those are the best where the really sharp bettors will put the most money down is the matchup markets. So you definitely want to spread out your portfolio, make sure you're diversified. Don't just bet outright. You know, they can be random. You know, typically if you win 4 or 5 a year, that's a good year, but really where you're going to have consistent money week over week is the placement and matchup markets.
I guess before I let you go then, with about a minute and a half here left to go, like Cam Young, is he somebody then too that you also bought in on the top 20 or were playing him in matchups? Were there any of those placement or matchup bets that you liked this week?
Yeah, I think top 10 with Cam is pretty smart, you know, given he's got the T4s in 2 of his last 3 starts and this is a weaker field. I think that's a good bet. I talked about why I don't like Colin Morikawa. You know, the guy hasn't won in 2 or 3 years. He doesn't have a top 15 since the Players. It's been months. He's switching caddies again this week. That news just broke. So I am playing Patrick Cantlay, who succeeds on easier courses. Patrick Cantlay over Colin Morikawa, that's plus 105 over at DraftKings. And then a couple other placement bets I like. Max Grazerman has been really consistent, made his last 9 cuts. A couple of top finishes as well. I like him this week, not necessarily as an outright, which means he'll probably win, but betting him top 10 plus 400. And Ben Griffin, like I said, first in strokes gained total the last 36 rounds. He's about plus 200. So like I said, not the biggest odds, but this is where you could really build your portfolio. Ben Griffin's finished in the top 10 in 4 of his last 5 starts. And the other start that he didn't finish top 10 was a T18. So I like those two. And Emiliano Grillo, the last one I'll give you guys, a top 20. Grillo's approach play has been amazing. And he putted really well at Oakmont on fast greens. So I think that could translate to Detroit as well.
Great stuff. Appreciate the time. Stephen Hennessy, everybody, make sure you check out all the work over there at Golf Digest. Follow him on X as well, at @S_HennessyGD. We'll be right back on Money Moves.
Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Take your betting to the next level with First Bet. Sign up now at firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. And use the promo code VSiN200. That'll score you a 20% rebate on all your wagers the first 60 days, up to $200. Don't miss out. Bet smarter today at firstbet.com. Again, the number one, stbet.com.
Maybe a stupid one, but I'm just spitballing here.
Can it make you say why not?
That wasn't a stupid question.
It's time for Why Not Wednesday.
I mean, why not?
You know when they say it's so crazy it just might work?
Okay, time for a little little Why Not Wednesday action as we welcome you back here to Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. He's Keith Irizarry. I'm Stormy Bonantoni. Got a few interesting props that we're going to throw at each other, see if we can get each other to say why not. And usually I'm going all plus money here, but I did want to throw this one at you just because it historically doesn't happen that the division winner in the NFC East repeats. So can you say why not to the Eagles at minus 135 being a decent bet here? Because I have heard some argument against the Philadelphia Eagles in this spot, which I know sounds sacrilegious, but the Super Bowl hangover element, a top four hardest schedule in the NFL, division getting better with the Washington Commanders on their heels. They lose Kellen Moore as OC. They lose a lot of talent on defense. But like, I still trust them more than I do the Commanders. We've talked about it not too long ago on the show that maybe Washington could be kind of like the CJ Stroud and Houston Texans of last year. The Dallas Cowboys, yeah, I like them to get better this year. I like them over their season win total. But do I think they're a true contender in the division? Not particularly. So they're an odds-on favorite. It's not anything too crazy to say you think they're going to win. But considering the fact there has not been a repeat champ in the NFC East in 21 years, can you say why not to a team going back-to-back in the Eagles?
Fly, Eagles, fly on the road to victory. I'm in on this one. I like the Commanders, don't love the Commanders. Cowboys are the Cowboys, and there's a team from New York that wears blue that's also in that division.
Yeah,
so the Eagles, the Eagles should be able to capture this again, barring something catastrophic with injuries and whatnot. I like the Eagles. I don't love the minus 135, but yeah, it's a good bet. I like it. I'm with you on this one.
You still have a great offensive line. You re-signed Saquon Barkley, a dual-threat quarterback in Jalen Hurts. Vic Fangio still leading the way on defense with Jalen Carter and Zach Bond and all these guys. So, I agree with you on the price, but it's just one of those things where I really feel like for the first time in forever, we're going to have a repeat champ. Okay, what's your first one?
Okay, so the guy that lives in New York is going to sound like anti-New York again after I just made some slander towards the New York Giants. How about the Braves to make the playoffs at almost 4-1 odds? I got it a plus 380 on DraftKings. So here's the hurdles you have to jump through, and this is the issue, right? So they're eighth in the wild card standings, six games back of the Mets. But let me tell you some other things here. How about a plus 29 run differential? Typically, that is good in baseball. They've won 7 of their last 10 games. The Mets have lost 10 of their last 11 games. Now, some of the teams ahead of them, like the Reds, are on fire right now. Like the Brewers, like there are good teams ahead of them. But the Braves are suddenly looking healthy. Acuña Jr. is having, like, an amazing June, really an amazing comeback from the injury. Olsen's looking better. Riley's looking pretty good. Strider looked pretty good the other night. Schwellenbach is solid. The big thing for the Braves, gotta go get a closer. And I know they don't grow on trees, but Iglesias has been bad. They need a closer. If they do that, make the playoffs, yes, at almost 4-1 odds.
Yeah, the bullpen has been a problem, to your point. And prior to what has been a pair of one-run wins over the last 2 weeks, Atlanta was 9-18 decided in games decided by a single run. So that element is going to be huge for them. But I do like this. I know our boy JVT does not, because he's been fighting me on the Braves forever. But I'm with you, especially when you look at the schedule here. Took at least a split of this four-game series with the Mets. They've won 5 straight against them. They host the Phillies for 3 games, which will be tough. But then there's a lot of opportunity to chip away at that 6-game wildcard deficit. You get the Angels, you get the Orioles, you get the A's before St. Louis in the All-Star break. So you could cut that 6-3 or what have you and really make a little bit of a move with some rest for Chris Sale and some of these other guys to see if you can get healthy and make something. I absolutely can say why not. I'm going to stick with baseball because I can't believe we're 50 minutes into this show and we haven't talked about Cal Raleigh and what he is doing. Can you say why not for him to win AL MVP? And I know the value is all sucked out of it now. He was 25-1 like a week ago. He's plus 550 here. But the larger question is, can he do it? Can he upset Aaron Judge for this honor? Can you say why not?
Probably not. I wouldn't bet it. I think more fascinating is, can he catch Barry Bonds' 39 home runs before the All-Star break?
Yeah.
He is on pace for that with whatever it's, say, 7
He's
or 8
got
games
32
left, I think,
right
before
now.
The All-Star
yeah.
break. Yeah, and he needs 7 more home runs. He's got more RBIs than Bonds had that season at the All-Star break already. I wouldn't bet him to win the MVP. My guess is he's going to slow down at some point. So I'm going to say no to your why not. Sorry.
I'm just fascinated with what he's doing. Maybe to have the most home runs. He's 4 ahead of Judge right now. If he can keep on this pace, he's on pace for 67 for the year.
Do you feel comfortable saying his nickname?
The Big Dumpa?
You don't have to say it. She said it. All right.
I was avoiding it, but there we go.
Yeah. I borderline feel uncomfortable saying his nickname. Yeah.
You know what's going to make me even more uncomfortable, Keith, is that we're going from that to what's next on your item in a major league eating one. So on to you, my friend.
Are you the best in segues in TV and radio? Yes. Yes, you are. So I love the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. I am a big fan of it. I've covered some local hot dog eating contests, some of the qualifiers back in my day. So,
hell yeah.
Joey Chestnut officially allowed back in. He was out last year because of some sponsorship stuff. He'll win it. He will. But the number I saw was 73.5 hot dogs eaten. Now, that sounds like a lot. But then you go, hey, he had 76 back in 2021. Why can't he do that again? If you remember back in 2021, that was an indoors one. We were in a global pandemic. Mm-hmm. So you didn't have to worry about humidity, nothing with heat. No, it was a controlled environment. The air condition was on. He was eating gloriously that day. So I think he'll win. I don't think he's going to get the over 73.5, so you're going to bet the under. The other reason why he doesn't have to eat like crazy, and I know that sounds nuts, is that Patrick Bertoletti won it last year. He won it with 58 hot dogs. He's not a guy that's going to eat more than 60 or 62 maybe if he has a best day ever, and Jeffrey Esper kind of the same way as well. So you're not going to get pushed the way that Chestnut used to get pushed.
Oh,
Joey Chestnut,
Keith,
probably about 68 hot dogs eaten. Boom.
Oh, Keith. Here's what you fail to recognize, my friend, is that Joey Chestnut doesn't need to be pushed by any other individual. The only competition Joey Chestnut has is himself, okay? So what I'm hoping is that you're right and that other people bet him to go under the 73.5 so that your girl can get a better number. I would love a 72.5. I would love a 71.5 if we can get over that number, if people are like-minded like you. Because, yes, you mentioned 2021 where the conditions were great, but you also failed to mention 2022 and 2023 when he was held in the 60s and the conditions were terrible. One year he had a rain delay. One year he was on crutches because he had such a significant knee injury. He's trying to gobble down all these hot dogs. The man can't even stand, and he had to put a protester in a chokehold. Last year in the Kobayashi Netflix thing that he put together, he ate 83 in controlled conditions. This year, yes, there is going to be weather. There's going to be elements out there in Coney Island, but my boy is going over 73 dogs. You heard it here first. Better believe it.
Wow. Did people tune into Money Moves today realizing that you have the two most intelligent hot dog eating contest?
You used to actually cover hot dog eating contests. I was a cornhole reporter at one time in my day. So, I mean, apparently you just need to put us on the cover of a
Sears Sports Quarterly. We've lived quite the charmed careers.
We're ready to go.
Quite the charmed careers.
You got to start somewhere. So ESPN obviously broadcasts the Coney Island hot dog eating contest every year. I need to figure out a way to put myself in the ring for this in the future. I would love it. I think it's fascinating.
Can we somehow get VSiN to send me and you together to do some sort of something for VSiN?
We'll go back to back. We'll go to Omaha for the College World Series, get all the Jello shots in, and then we head out to Coney Island for the hot dog eating contest. It's just a match made in heaven. What can I say? But again, I hope that people are going with you and they're betting the under so that I can get a better number to bet on my boy, Joey Jaws Chestnut. On that note, we got to take a timeout. When we come back, resetting for hour two of the program. Lots of Major League Baseball to get into after this.